Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm going to talk about some recent purchases in my collection from the Aaron Myers collection, actually. So I got the Atom number 6. This was an issue I'm missing. I still need a few more issues to complete the Atom. And that was number 6. I got a DC Star Spangled War Stories featuring the Unknown Soldier and also an Enemy Ace story. This is 157. It's got, looks like Sergeant Rock, but it, I don't think it is. Oh, yeah, it is. It says, "What happens when the Unknown Soldier meets Rock of Easy Company? That man saved my life, but who is he?" I guess you only see the legs of the Unknown Soldier. It's a 15-center. We got a GI Combat number 90. It's a 10-center featuring the Haunted Tank. A very unusual painted-looking cover that looks like you have a enemy soldier with a knife on his gun. And another soldier and the Marine Corps coming around the bend in some of the high grass area. That's a 10th center. We then got the first appearance of the Haunted Tank on a cover. So it's not the first appearance of the Haunted Tank, but it's the first appearance of the Haunted Tank on a cover. That's issue 91 of GI Combat. We have GI Combat number 95. That one looks like you have a soldier with a bazooka shooting at a tank through a manhole cover. That one is a 12 center. Then we have an Our Army at War, 185, featuring Sergeant Rock, and it says one of his soldiers is holding a gun with a flag on it, and Sergeant Rock's shooting a machine gun. The flag was dead. Could Sergeant Rock make it live again? Don't miss Battle Flag for a GI. We then have Showcase Presents Easy Company Sergeant Rock. This cover is amazing. It says, in the book-length bombshell, sergeants aren't born. It has Sergeant Rock hanging out of a window without his... He doesn't have his helmet on. The helmet's falling to the ground. One of his soldiers is holding him outside the window by the arm, and he's extending himself with his machine gun so he could shoot at some Nazis. And you see another building, and on the ground you see two soldiers running and a Jeep that's smoldering on its side. It's really a beautiful cover, and that's from Showcase DC Comics. We have another Showcase. This is number 76, featuring Batlash. It says, will he save West or run it? Wanted. And it has a picture of Batlash with a female's red lipstick on. I don't think they had lipstick back in the Wild West. That's interesting. Well, maybe they did. Did they have lipstick? Oh, in the 20s, you had lipstick. Huh. My wife's schooling me on the history of lipstick, even though she's never worn lipstick, only lip balm. So we got Super Friends number 40. Still working on trying to complete my run of Super Friends that has Wonder Woman getting arrested, and it says, you can't arrest me, I've done nothing wrong. We know Wonder Woman is innocent, but we can't prove it. And it says, extra, we got a jack-o'-lantern story. Cool cover. We have Psycho from Innovation about the, you know, Anthony Hopkins movie. Is that his name? Is Anthony Hopkins the actor? Why does that sound so weird? In Psycho? Anthony Perkins is The Silence of the Lambs. Yeah, I knew that was wrong. So it's got him on the cover and the woman that he's about to kill, I think Janet Leigh. And the second issue has the shower scene, but with just a bunch of images on it from Innovation. That's the one that's not too old. I have an Eros comic, Erotic Worlds of Frank Thorne, featuring the Wizard and Red Sonja show, the story of the girl in the bikini, number 6. Didn't know there was an Eros comic with Red Sonja on it. We have Adventures of the Planet of the Apes, number 4. Even though I own this in Omnibus, I do want the single issues because I liked it so much. That's number 4. Amazing Spider-Man 53. It says, "Look who's back, Doc Ock." Enough said. Doc Ock has Spider-Man cradled in his arms on a building, and his arms are going smacking the walls around him. We have Amazing Spider-Man number 119, featuring the Hulk, Spidey versus the Hulk. "You won't stop Hulk from smashing our nothing can." He wants to smash this dam. He says, "Maybe not, Green Skin, but I'm still going to try, even if it kills me," which it probably will. Then we have a later issue of Amazing Spider-Man I Was Missing 246. It has J. Jonah Jameson punching Spider-Man in the face. "I've dreamt of this moment for years. Now, at last, J. Jonah Jameson is triumphant." Have an Amazing Spider-Man annual number 10, where he's the human fly has J. Jonah Jameson in his web. Spider-Man swinging into action. We have Journey into Mystery with Thor, 12th Center, from number 105. Back on the Rampage again, Cobra and Mr. Hyde. A new Marvel Super Spectacular. It has Thor in the middle and Cobra and Mr. Hyde attacking him. We have Marvel Tales, Spider-Man and Iceman. This is the Todd McFarlane cover. Has Spider-Man and Iceman on the cover. Then we got 229, Spider-Man, Angel, and Iceman, drawn by Todd McFarlane. We have a Marvel Tales number 230. They were twice monthly, featuring Dazzler, drawn by Todd McFarlane, as Spider-Man in the foreground. We have Marvel Tales 234, featuring Spider-Man. It says the X-Men. It's a really black cover. You don't really see the X-Men too much, except silhouettes of them. And you see Spider-Man swinging in the foreground. Really nice looking Spider-Man. I like that cover. We have Marvel Tales featuring Spider-Man and the X-Men. What's going on? It says, "Frankly, we haven't a clue, but we know the unstoppable Juggernaut is up to no good again. Plus Spider-Ham meets Howard the Duck." This one has Spider-Man fighting Colossus and Nightcrawler. We got Spidey Super Stories number 28. This has him at a circus, and it says "Together Again with Medusa." We have Spidey number 29 Super Stories. This has Kingpin swinging at a baseball game, Spider-Man's body, so he can hit a home run. We have Spidey Super Stories number 30. This has Kang on the cover over the White House, and Spidey is swinging in. Kang captures the White House. We have Spidey Super Stories number 33. This has Hulk grabbing Spider-Man at a circus. We have Spidey Super Stories number 38. This has Spidey and the Fantastic Four on a roller coaster. Everybody's on the roller coaster except the Torch, who's flying alongside it. We have Spidey Super Stories and the Electric Company featuring Spidey and Nova number 41, starring Doc Ock. And he has Nova and Doc Ock captured within his arms. We have Spidey Super Stories number 46. This has Spider-Man fighting Mysterio. Disco Madness with Mysterio. We have Strange Tales number 101 featuring the Human Torch. There's some guy on the cover. It says, even though the Human Torch can't stop all those plunging men at once, and so the Destroyer wins again. If I save those men, the Destroyer will go free, but I can't let them fall. I can't. And it says, starring the fabulous Human Torch, asterisk, by permission of the Fantastic Four magazine. I don't know what that's about. We have Strange Tales, number 105, signed by Keith on the cover, whoever that is. We were speculating on Geek Brunch why so many people sign their comics. And one of the reasons me and Bill came up with is trading and maybe to get it back or to see who originally started the comic book in the trade. Or it was if you lent it to somebody, you might have signed it so you can get your comic back. I don't know. If you know why people sign their comics with their own name on it, let me know. Human Torch flames into action in the Return of the Wizard. The evil genius who has sworn to destroy the Torch. The Wizard's force field can't stop me. I can always fly above it. I expect you to try that, Torch. You will find the Wizard is prepared for you. The cops on their ground. Why did the Fantastic Four let the Torch tackle that fortress single-handedly? His flaming powers won't be a match for that fiend's wizardry. We have Strange Tales featuring the Torch and the Fantastic Four, number 106. This is the most damaged of the issues. It has a piece of tape that's taping the cover across it. It says, Reed, this is Sue, Reed, do something. The Torch is wounded. He hasn't a chance. Reed says, we can't, Sue. This is the way he wants it. See the Human Torch fighting for his life against the Acrobat in a threat of the Torrid Twosome. Don't miss the guest appearance of the Fantastic Four in this great issue. This is my favorite cover here. It's Strange Tales 107. It has the Submariner coming out with and fighting the Human Torch. And it says, the epic battle which you demanded, the Human Torch versus Submariner, the mighty Submariner facing each other in a breathtaking saga of fire against water. This one is the big one. And that one's signed by somebody named Linda Wilsons. It's not Wilson, it's Wilsons. I don't know too many names with the S at the end of Wilsons. Got Strange Tales 108 featuring the Human Torch. The Human Torch meets the Painter of a Thousand Perils. And it says, get him, Thing. We must destroy the Torch. Only I can make the Fantastic Four turn against the Human Torch. We have Strange Tales number 116 featuring the Human Torch. I never realized how many issues of Strange Tales featuring the Human Torch, because when I got into Strange Tales, it was always Nick Fury and Doctor Strange. So these were prior to that. We got the Human Torch battles the Thing, and the Thing is saying, come and get it, Pennywaste. When I'm finished with you, there won't even be a spark left. Looks like the Puppet Master's there and Alicia's there. And he said, "Talk loud and clear, you dumb ape, because those will be the last words you ever say." And this one's signed by somebody, Anil Levy, I think is the name. We have Strange Tales, number 117, featuring the Human Torch. All of these are really nice covers, except that one with tape. This one's signed by, it says, owned by Mark Seagram. And it says, featuring the flaming, fighting, high-flying Human Torch, Marvel Comics Group proudly presents the return of the Eel, one of the most elusive super criminals of all time. Also featuring Doctor Strange in the terrible traps of Baron Mordo. So we got Doctor Strange coming in. And then we got Tales of Suspense number 54. Iron Man fighting the Mandarin. Our most talked about new villain is back. Marvel hits the jackpot with the Mandarin's revenge. Wait till you see Iron Man's new protective head mask. Old Bullethead seems to change his iron mask so often as a glamour girl changes her hairdos. But this one's a doozy. We have Tales of Suspense number 56. With Iron Man on the cover. It says, Iron Man has never been more exciting or more dramatic than his never-to-be-forgotten battle with the Uncanny Unicorn. In this daringly differently tale, you will gain insight into Iron Man's character that you've never known before. We have Tales of Suspense featuring Iron Man and Captain America number 60. Cap battles the assassins. It says, two more great ones from Marvel. Enough said. Iron Man wanted for murder, and Hawkeye shooting an arrow at him. And then there's some cops that is also after Iron Man, it looks like. We have Tales of Suspense number 66. This has a Iron Man underwater. Looks like he's fighting a Tuma. And then a Red Skull pointing a gun at Captain America sitting in a chair tied up. If one picture is worth 1,000 words, just imagine what these two pictures are worth. I don't know. We have X-Men number 71. Our title is simply I, Lucifer, enough said. So it's got the X-Men near a bank. It looks like they're robbing a bank. Except it's got Cyclops, Angel. Well, there's two X-Men coming out of the bank. One looks like he's the Blob. The other one I can't make out, but they're in X-Men suits. And the Beast and Iceman and Angel and Cyclops are coming to stop the robbery. It says, featuring the untold story of how Professor X lost the use of his legs. And then we have X-Men King Size Special, which is really annual number 2. This has the X-Men fighting the Eel, Blizzard, Jack-O-Lantern, and Porcupine. It says four supervillains and you can shake X-Men at, plus action, action, action. So that wraps up my purchases from my most recent purchase. I'll be back with some more on Diamond Previews and what I read for the week. So that will end part one of this, and then I'll attach part two. I'll talk to you later. Bye. These new headsets are great because I don't have to constantly unplug the USB port back and forth until it starts to work. It just works right away. The only part that's really hard for me to get used to is I can't hear myself talk very well because they mute outside ambient noise. But I guess that's kind of nice, and over time it might sound like I'm not shouting it into the mic, but sometimes I do that because I don't realize I can hear myself think. So it's another Friday. I skipped last week. I don't remember why, probably because I just didn't feel like it. Or I didn't get out of work early. That's what happened. I had to work late. But here we are again. I've already recorded the segment of recent purchases, so I'm going to jump right into... I have no questions, so I'll jump right into previews. September of 1992, The Death of Superman, Volume 2, Number 9. And we left off on the D's, which we're at DC, which is pretty interesting because we're going to see what DC was publishing at the time that Death of Superman came out. DC has a quite a big presence here. See, this goes back. Has an interview with Dan Jurgens, Louise Simonson, but it starts on page, if you want to join me, it starts on page, I finished Dark Horse last time, page 24 of your previews catalog in 1992. So they had these things called Rising Stars, which were like trade paperbacks at the time. And this might be like the early foundation of the trade paperback. But what you could pick up from DC was Doom Patrol Crawling from the Wreckage trade paperback, collecting Doom Patrol 19 through 25, which is the Grant Morrison and Richard Case and Braithwaite series. So that's what launched... Doom Patrol, after the initial launch, they kept the numbering. So that was a trade that was available to you. You also had the Hawk World trade paperback. this is an outstanding comic book by Timothy Truman. It's just amazing with Alcantia. But this is really... a great, if I remember correctly, it was a deluxe series that had three issues, but they were almost like 48 pages to 50 pages each, and that's what you could get. But you also could get Who's Who Update 93 Volume 1. Which featured Agent Liberty, Azrael, Black Mask, Count Viper, The Netherworld, Eclipso, Evil Star, Mr. Z, and others. This was a resolicit from Volume 2, Number 8. I don't remember if this Who's Who volume was the one with the punch holes where you bought the binder and you got those, because Marvel and DC both had the Who's Who, and then they had the Who's Who with the binders where you could buy the leaf things and you could put them in your nice binder. We have Batman Shadow of the Bat number 8. Part 2 of The Misfits, Robin must save the day when Jim Gordon, Bruce Wayne, and Mayor Kroll are kidnapped by The Misfits, by Alan Grant and Tim Sale, with cover by Brian Stillfreeze. I still am suffering from allergies, so I'm still having a rough time. This is a big one. We had Batman Sword of Azrael number 4 by Denny O'Neil and Quesada. That was, at the time this was coming out, this was like an awesome miniseries that everybody was really stoked about. We had Deathstroke the Terminator number 18 by Wolfman and Irwin. This is the resurrected Deathstroke leads the Brotherhood of Evil Strike Force on a raid deep into Russia. Their mission, capture a few surplus nuclear warheads, covered by Mike Zeck. We have Flash number 72 by Mark Waid and Salvador LaRocque. This is Flash struggles to protect a state informant from the wrath of the alchemist while Wally confronts his relationship with Linda Park, who may be moving to another job in another city. We have Green Lantern Archives Volume 1 reprinting Showcase 22 through 24 and Green Lantern 1 through 5. I really wish I'd bought some of these showcases, especially the Golden Age showcases that featured like All-Star Comics and Dr. Fate and Starman and all the Golden Age characters, because I don't know if we'll ever see reprints of that material. We also have Stars of the Month, the greatest Superman stories ever told. I don't think I have this. Greatest team-up stories ever told. I believe I do have that. Those are collected editions. We have Green Lantern Mosaic number 8. This is John Stewart Green Lantern, and it was a fantastic series. Still one of my favorite series because such an oddball is like he was the policeman and trying to keep peace on a world that was formed by many other worlds. So they like took a piece of Earth, took a piece of this planet, and this planet, and assembled a planet. And it was just in turmoil, and he was there set to police this mosaic world. It was pretty cool. Hawk World number 30, which launched after the Hawk World series that's collected in this. So you had the prestige format Hawk World, and then you had an ongoing Hawk World by Ostrander and Truman. We had Peter Cannon Thunderbolt. So this is a Charlton comic by Michael Collins and Marzahn Jr. We had Robin 3000, which was an Elseworlds, took place in the future by Priest and Russell. We had Shade the Changing Man, number 31, Vertigo series, before Vertigo existed, but they were starting to because, oh, this might be when Vertigo did happen, because they collected the Doom Patrol, and 19 wasn't officially a Vertigo title, but the Morrison run kind of started us down the path of Vertigo. We had Shade the Changing Man by Peter Milligan and Doran and Buckingham. We had the Spectre. Oh, I remember this specifically coming out during the death of Superman because this book became hot. Not because everybody wanted to read The Spectre, but because they heard good things about it, and there were so few copies on the stands. And people heard buzz about it, and it became really popular. It was by Ostrander and Mandrake, and it was fantastic. This Spectre series, number one, had a glow-in-the-dark cover that to this day could be my favorite glow-in-the-dark cover ever. We had Star Trek number 42 by Weinstein, Wingham, and Starr. This is when DC had the license. You can see they probably had the longest running Star Trek title outside of IDW, but I don't know if IDW's past that because they have so many minis, but if you count those minis as, they might have passed it. I don't know. You got Superman, Man of Steel, Superman Doomsday Part 5 of 6. So we're coming to the end here. Superman Weeping S t-shirt. Only for $14.95. You get a t-shirt today, it's like $30. You got Valor number 3. That was an interesting series by Fleming and Bright. Bright, I think, just passed away recently. M.D. Bright. We have Wonder Woman, Messner, Loebs, Collins, Exodus into Space, Conclusion, Diana Returns to Earth. After a year-long absence, it must deal with the consequences of her absence. Oh, so this is when Brian Bolan was doing the Wonder Woman covers. We have Shipping and November 17th, we have Aquaman number 14, Doesn't Say Much, by Sean McLaughlin and C. Shrek and Dvorak. We have Batman 488, continuing the storyline of Sword of Azrael. And these covers were $1.25. Can you imagine that? Now we're at almost $4.99. Black Canary number one started, Hero Worship by Brian and Von Eden. We had a collected edition, or not, though this is Elseworlds, Batman, the Blue, Gray, and the Bat. I don't think I have that. All these others I have. The Demon, number 31, starring the Lobo by Alan Grant and Heaton. That was a really good series. Eclipso was a really good series by Keith Giffen and Fleming with art by Sears. We have Hacker Files by Chenier, Sutton, and Buckingham. I have that too. Hammerlock is a series by Joyner and Sprouse. We have Heckler, another Giffen series by Keith Giffen and TMM Bearbaum. Hellblazer, number 61. This is when Garth Ennis was writing it. Looks like Walt Simpson was doing the art. And Barrio. Then you have an article of Death of Superman, interview with Louise Simonson and Dan Jurgens, and then Roger Stern. And we got Justice League of America number 70. Broken and badly injured, the League struggles to stay together after the aftermath of the shocking events of Superman 75, which is the death of Superman. We have Legion of Superheroes number 39. That's by TMM Beerbaum and Giffen with Sturt Immoneman, I believe. We have New Teen Titans by Louise Simonson, Jimenez, and McCarthy. We have a Robin Hero Reborn trade paperback by Alan Grant and Dixon with art by Breyfogel and Lyle. We have Sandman number 45, or we're well into Vertigo, by the way, by Gaiman and Jill Thompson. Of course, we have Superman 75, The Death of Superman, with a cover price of $2.50. Robin 3, Cry of the Huntress by Dixon Lyle. Robin 3 Newsstand Edition. So you have the deluxe and the newsstand. Same thing with Superman 75. You have the collector's edition and newsstand edition you could order. We have a Wizard and Previews, which has a checklist of Superman titles. Interesting. And then we got Man of Steel Collected Edition. Some trades you could get. That's the John Byrne one. Superman Archives by Siegel and Schuster. Number one and two. Which I now have the Golden Age Omnibus, and I'm so happy to have them. Because, god dang, they're such good stories. They are incredible. I got to get back on that. We got a World's Finest trade paperback by Gibbons Rude. This was the deluxe formatted World's Finest. Adventures of Superman 498. Funeral for a Friend, 1 of 8. Animal Man number 55 by Delano and Pugh. So Morrison is well gone but after this. We have the trade paperback by Morrison, Trug, and Hazelwood and Grummet. I have Batman Legends of the Dark Knight number 41 by Wilson and Joyner. Then we have a Batman Death in the Family trade paperback. That one's been done a lot. And a Lonely Place of the Dying trade paperback. We have Black Condor number 8 by Brian Augustine and Rags Morales. We have Kongorilla number 3 by Steve Englehart and Neil Vokes. We have Green Lantern number 35 by J.G. Jones and Mark M.D. Bright. We have Green Lantern Emerald Dawn trade paperback by Giffen, G. Jones, and Owsley, and Bright, and Thongle. And the road back to, so it looks like they're focusing on Green Lantern on those trades. Got Legion 93, number 49 by Barry Kitson and R. Smith. One of my favorite series was the Legion year number series. They're fantastic. They were launched after Invasion. Have Robin 3000, number 2, which we talked about, number 1. We have Star Trek The Next Generation, number 42, so that one also had a long-running situation. Showcase 93, number 1, focusing on Catwoman. This one had a Catwoman story, a Blue Devil story, and a Cyborg story. We had Swamp Thing 127 by Nancy Collins, Scott Eaton. So that was a Vertigo. We had Team Titans by Wolfman, McGuire, and Blyberg. We have Action Comics 685, Funeral for a Friend Part 2. Dark Stars number 4 by Friedman. That was a good series. Kind of needed to read that if you're reading Green Lantern too, because they're both kind of like space-bound police. Got Dead Man Exorcism number 2 by Mike Baron and Kelly Jones. That's fantastic. If you're into Dead Men, these deluxe formatted things were amazing. You got Detective Comics 655. We got some Swamp Thing trade paperbacks, Dark Genesis trade paperback, and Love and Death trade paperback. We got Batman Master of the Future and the Cult trade paperback. So a lot of trades solicited as well. Got Doom Patrol number 63 by Morrison and Case. The Essentials Showcase Volume 1. That would be fun to have. Collect stories from the initial run of Showcase. I didn't know that existed. That would be a fantastic black and white book. It's only $20 too. Green Arrow number 70 by Mike Grell and Hoberg. There was also a trade, Green Arrow Longbow Hunters. Justice League Europe number 46 by J.G. Jones and Randall. Justice Society of America number 6 by Straczynski and Paraback. We have Robin 3, Cry of the Huntress number 3, and the newsstand edition for that. We have Timberwolf number 3 by Gordon and Phillips. Batman Adventures number 4 by Pasco, Raider, and Burchett. There's a Batman Birth of the Demon hardcover graphic novel, Batman Son of the Demon softcover, and Batman Tales of the Demon. So you can see a lot of trades, especially Batman stuff. Batman Vengeance of the Bane special number 1 by Dixon and Nolan. Got Guy Gardner number 4. Lobo in Infanticide, Scarlet number 1. I did buy this. It's a weird vampire type comic book, continued from the pages of Batman. Got Streets number 2. That was a cop one. I purchased that too. We got Who's Who Update 93 Volume 2, and Fast Forward number 2 from DC Piranha Press. And that wraps up DC. So a lot being published there. And I'm going to take a pause for the cause to tally up the numbers, and then I'll be back right real quick. All right, I'm back, and I made some totals. This is going to be March 25th through April 7th. And I didn't take a lot of notes on this, so this is going to be a little quick, because I've been kind of lazy on the note-taking. But let me know if you really care. But as far as movies watched that week, I mean, for reading 34 comics, I watched a lot of shit. We got Dr. No, Man with the Golden Gun, Godzilla X Kong, License to Kill, No Time to Die. So 4 Bond films and 1 Godzilla movie at the theater. That's quite a bit. They were all 4 out of 5. So I enjoyed them all. So I have officially wrapped up the James Bond films. And Not sure I know where I'm going from there. If I keep what I might go Planet of the Apes. I have gone to watch X-Men 97. So I'm 6 episodes/7 into the latest. I think I'm getting close to the penultimate for the series. I've been really happy about that series. I need to ping Rob because I'm really curious if he's been watching that as an X-Men fan. It's really good. I know he didn't watch the original cartoon because he thought he was too cool and old. Because I watched X-Men cartoon when I was... I don't remember what year it came out, but it was in the 90s. And was it 80s? Did it start in the 80s? But I was in college by then, you know? So I was recording them on my VHS player, believe it or not, on Saturday mornings because I couldn't always watch them on time. And then I'd watch them. And sometimes Barb would watch them with me, but she didn't watch a lot. But I recorded all the episodes. I think I still have the videotapes in my storage locker of the entire series. And now I can, you know, as things have changed, I can watch the whole thing on Disney if I wanted to. But it's been a really fun ride. Some emotional stuff in there. I actually got emotional with what I saw with Gambit and Rogue. I thought it was really well done. So now we have 34 comics. Pretty good week. I'm always happy when I have 30 comics a week. That's what it should be. But it should be like 60. But life gets in the way, man. We have 2 Zenoscope, 25 Marvel, 5 Image, and 2 Dark Horse. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We have Sir Edward Grey, Acheron. This was a weird one. I have been following a lot of the witch stuff. But this is some demon with horns on his eyes and his relationship with Hellboy. I did not know what the hell was going on because I don't read much Hellboy. So this one was really hard to follow, but I can't really slam it for my being naive. And in terms of the quality of the comic, it was fine. I enjoyed aspects of it. We have Storm number 5. I was very high on this series going in, but this petered out as we got to the finale. The conclusion to Storm as she battles her ex-boyfriend who has merged into a Storm God. It just got kind of really crazy. I did like the angsty shit at the beginning of this series about Kitty being all pissed off about Storm getting a mohawk and thinking she has to go get tattoos. But she got fake tattoos, but you don't know that. But it makes sense because retro, you know, if you were to go back and read this in continuity, you'd be like, where did these fucking tattoos go? Did she just have them removed? Well, they were not real tattoos. So we got Bell Dragonclaw, number 1. Bell is the monster hunter of the Zenoscope universe. I gave that a 3 out of 5. That was good. We have the 4 out of 5s. There was a lot. We have Children of the Vault. That one probably is a 3 out of 5, but I gave it a 4 out of 5. It really should be in the 3 out of 5s. The Children of the Vault are reawakened and serving the world with their demise of Krakoa. Bishop and Cable are teaming up to fight the enemy. I really bought this because of Bishop and Cable, and I don't know shit about the Children of the Vault, even though I probably have the issues. Either I didn't read them, or they didn't like register in my brain. We have number 40 of Wolverine. This is the current series, the Krakoa Wolverine ongoing, number 40. He asks Spider-Man to hack into the Orchis to gain data as he tries to get revenge for Krakoa. Been a very entertaining series of Wolverine. I do own this in physical. So far, everything I own in physical here, except for the next one. But I have been reading it digitally in the middle of the night. So I've been catching up on a lot of Wolverine on my iPad, even though I have the physical copy. We have Miles Morales, number 4 and 5, the current series before. This is the series before before the current one. So the volume before this current one as of 2024. And number 4 and 5, I have been enjoying this. This started off with him being stalked by a very jealous person that knew his identity because he took a scholarship away from her, essentially. And later on, he's teaming with Misty Knight, and she's being a mentor to him. And he's struggling with issues with trying to keep his friends distant and far away because he's worried that people are going to come after him. And we got Gru, Gods Against Gru, number 3. I finally read that after reading 1, 2, and 4. Because I read number 3 of the new ongoing. We have Witchblade versus Darkness, number 1/2. Tales of the Witchblade, 4 through 6. Witchblade versus Darkness was kind of the Wizard Magazine thing. And it wasn't like a big issue other than they teamed up. And then you had the Tales of the Witchblade, really well-drawn books, telling about historical pieces of different characters that carried the Witchblade. So now I didn't buy any of these issues. I read them digitally on the Kindle app and enjoyed it immensely. So if I do run across these in a dollar bin or something, I will be picking up Tales of the Witchblade for sure. We got Zodiac versus Dark Death Force, another Zenoscope book that sort of fell outside of their Grim Fairy Tales women stuff. I mean, it exists in the same universe, but these are like more armored up guys that then falling into the fantasy in the different realms. So we got Witchblade number 25. That was a really good issue. I have read 25 issues of Witchblade. That's pretty impressive. And I imagine I'll keep going. Got Carnage number 5. Carnage goes after Dylan at his work and slaughters his co-workers. He wants Dylan to draw on his father, Eddie. And it's been a really violent comic book. I've been enjoying it. We have Venom Lethal Protector. This is a legacy book, or I don't know what they call it, but it's like retconned into some old continuity with writers that wrote the character, like David Michelinie wrote this comic book, which is amazing. That's why I bought it. And I was very entertained by this one, where he's trying to protect some stuff. But I really liked it. We have... Oh, maybe I'm getting that confused with the other one, the Wolverine one. I still enjoyed it, but I'm trying to think if it was Michelinie that did this. I'm pretty sure it was him. We have Night Thrasher, the current series. Night Thrasher goes toe-to-toe with his new armor against Vibe. Looks like when the cops get involved, there's going to be a lot of problems. What happened there? I was trying to drink something. The little flap didn't open up. You have Jackpot Gang War, Luke Cage Gang War, Deadly Hands of Kung Fu Gang War, number 2 and 3, Luke Cage 3 and 4, Jackpot number 1, Spider-Woman number 3 and 4, Amazing Spider-Man 42 through 45 Gang War, and the 5 out of 5 was the Daredevil Gang War 2 through 4, which was really Elektra. But I really liked that one because the story was interesting and the art was just spot on. I don't know where they're finding some of these new artists, but really good stuff. I really enjoyed Gang War for many reasons. I enjoyed the art. I enjoyed the teams. I enjoyed how they took New York and divided it up into different people defending different areas and different villains attacking those areas. I thought it was well told. As far as an event, you don't usually see an event where every book matters, but I felt like for this event, every book did matter because it covered a different area. So I was really happy with Gang War. We have April 1st through April 7th. This day I'll always remember. April Fool's is the day that Ed Piskor died, unfortunately committed suicide. You probably already know that, but very sad day that day. I didn't even think it was real because of the day. Like, I was like, who could be joking about this shit, right? So that week I watched Casino Royale, the first one. This was with Peter Sellers and David has Woody Allen. Why can't I think of the other actor? David something. And the David character plays the main James Bond, and Peter Sellers is another James Bond, and Woody Harrelson is the son of an uncle or something that is like James Bond, and he's the villain, it turns out, or one of the villains. But it's a comedy. It's really weird. It doesn't fit into the James Bond mythos at all, in my opinion. I don't know how they decided to do like an Austin Powers before Austin Powers. But the only thing was amazing is there was a lot of beautiful women in it. There wasn't like just one Bond girl. There was 50 of them. And one of them later appears in a real James Bond film, Dr. No. So she's in this one, which is the first James Bond film. And Dr. No is the first real James Bond film. We have Roadhouse, the second one. This is not really a remake, but a reimagining of Roadhouse. It was really good. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I give Casino Royale, the first one, 3 out of 5, whereas the new one is more like a 5 out of 5. But I enjoyed the new Roadhouse. It wasn't quite as good as the original. The original I just love. The 5 out of 5s were Curb Your Enthusiasm and Winning Time. Winning Time is a miniseries on HBO Max about the Lakers, and Curb Your Enthusiasm is a show, comedy with Larry David playing himself on HBO Max. We have a total of 25 comics. One Rebel, two Opus, 14 Marvel, one Image, two Eros, one DC, one Dark Horse, three Antarctic. We have, starting with the 4 out of 5s, we have Power Pack Into the Storm, number 1. The powers go on vacation and Franklin Richards joins them, but is having visions of aliens attacking. A snark and a horse-like kid show up when they are chased by an adult snark. We have Exciting Comics, number 35, 38, and 39. 35, I was just catching up with Bill because I missed that issue, and it really should have been that week, 37, 38, 39, but I already read 37, so I had read. And 35 did not disappoint because I was down on 36 because I was confused, and it's because 35 gave a lot of information you needed to enjoy 36. The downside of an anthology, you miss a good chunk of the story, and you're a little lost. Elizabeth Bathory, chapters 5 and 6. This is a nasty, nasty book. Probably the nastiest book. Beautifully drawn, by the way. It's from Eros, XXX comic. Two daughters witness the death of their father and mother and have sex with vampires. And then the witches go to a demonic orgy. I'm breaking that down for you, and maybe you won't have to read Elizabeth Bathory. We got Wolverine number 40. I thought I already covered this one. I did. So I need to subtract that guy out. I need to delete that and make it 24 comics. Because I already read that. I was like, that sounds familiar. I don't know how that happened. And then Marvel decreases by one. I read Wolverine 1 through 11. And this is the series by Paul Cornell prior to Charles Soule doing the death of Wolverine. So it's a very odd take on this. It's Wolverine with a gun because he lost his powers. He only has the gun in issue 1. He shoots somebody. At least you think he shoots somebody. It's really a life model decoy. But it didn't tell you that until way later. I think it was like 5 issues later. So you're like, Wolverine's a fucking murderer. We already know he murders people with his claws, right? But we don't know he'd pull out a gun and just blow the guy's brains out. He's working undercover trying to take down Sabretooth. And he's working for this guy called Mr. Offer because he makes offers. It leads up to the death of Wolverine. We have Dawn Runner. A woman is going to receive a new mech to fight alien kaiju. This time she will meld with the armor, but when she fights with the kaiju, she finds she is teleported into the future and merged with a soldier. We got Faust number 12. Faust battles Mr. Fun Demon, while M talks a lot about his plan and gives birth to Jade. At this time, M looks like, if you ever see Word Science and you see Chet, the brother, the older brother Chet, when she turns him into a monster, she turns him into this like blob-like creature. That's what M looks like before he gives birth to Sarah. So, Sarah gives birth to Jade. The reporter tries to rescue Jade, but then Claire goes get some sex bullets out of her crotch and is going to kill Jade. We have Exodus, Tales of the Damned. This was really good. A sister tries to find out more about her missing sister, which leads her to a small town zombified by a haunting radio music. And I really like the ending like that. It was like a Tales from the Crypt ending. So that's based on the band Exodus, because most of Opus comics are either a Frank Frazetta thing or they're a musical thing, you know, written by the musicians or a story about songs in their libraries. That was a 4 out of 5. So everything there was a 4 out of 5. We go into the 5 out of 5s. We have Punisher 2099. Number 19, the story of Vendetta. She wants to kill anyone that did females wrong by reprogramming them. The police, Gold Robot, and Punisher are concerned that are cornered by the police. But Punisher saves the chip of the robot and puts it into his Punisher bike. It was such a good romp. I really want to finish this Punisher 2099 run because I have really enjoyed the issues, and I don't own a lot of them. I think I own like 1 through 8, maybe 11 or 12. And then I stopped for the rest of it, and now I'm just picking up issues. I don't know why I stopped, probably because at that time I was like, I'm getting too much and I don't have time to read it. Like I don't have time to read anything now. But I was a little smarter back then. Now, Dawn Attack number one. This one is an Opus one. I really enjoyed this. I don't think it's going to finish, though. I got refunded on it. It looks like Opus is going the way of the dodo. And unfortunately, they produce really well-drawn comics, really good stories. And I wish people would have gave them a try. Their prices were very high. A lot of the books were 666, the number of the beast, so $6.66, which probably kept a lot of people away. But a princess tries to keep her society alive in the absence of her father, and technology keeps breaking down, and there is a huge food shortage. Invaders are on the horizon. We have Sam and Twitch case files. Sam beats up an informant and gets them both suspended from the police force. Not the he beats up the, because he beats up the informant. Sam and Twitch are both suspended, and Twitch is like, "I can't deal with your shit anymore, Sam." You know, a murder case is called into Twitch, but he does not answer his phone. They're calling to ask for his expertise and help, and it's like a bunch of bodies that have been chopped up. Last but not least, the 5 out of 5. So 5 out of 5s are Punisher 2099 to Superman Family 177. This is an amazing issue. I've talked about it on a whole podcast on the DC Noise podcast feed because I loved it so much. Supergirl is hunted down by an alien starmate. That was a fantastic story. Then you got Lois, Lana, and Clark land on a mysterious island of barbarians where a woman has to be wed or go into the Cave of Doom. And then Lois has to marry Clark and Lana has to marry Superman, but they are rescued in time. Lucy goes undercover as an actress. This is the third story. On a plane to take photos of employees so she can report them back to management. And Jimmy poses on that same flight as a magician to see if he can find an inf information about a criminal. And with their aliases, they fall in love with each other. Even though they don't know it's Jimmy Olsen and Lois Lane. Not Lois, but Lucy Lane. It is amazing story. I absolutely love this comic book, and that wraps us up. So the 5 out of 5s are Punisher 2099, not number 19, Dawn Attack number 1 from Opus, Sam and Twitch Case Files number 1, Superman Family 177, and Daredevil Gang War 2 through 4. So I want to thank you for listening. Again, you can contact me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. Send me email, and you can tweet me at Mike Myers Brunch or on what is that thing called? X. That's where I'm at. But the other one, why can't I think of the damn thing? Hold on a second. Instead of struggling, I'll just go there. Blue Sky. Had a serious brain fart there. At Mike Myers Brunch. The website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. And please send me questions to at Mike Myers Brunch or on the episode threads that are located at Facebook under Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow the episode threads there, and you can ask questions, and I will answer those questions on this show. So I want to thank you for listening, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen to my ranting. So we'll talk to you soon. Bye.